Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jama Ball. I'm the Director of Physician Services responsible for the FCVS operation here at FSMB. Welcome to our webinar introducing a new credentialing service for state medical boards and physicians. As postgraduate resident training programs close from time to time, they can ask the FSMB to permanently store the records of former residents in our GME closed programs repository. For state medical boards and other healthcare entities, this ensures continued future access to proof of postgraduate medical education training. To enhance this offering, the FSMB now allows physicians to request a secure, digitally signed, lifetime GME verification of their records from a closed residency program. Once a physician's request has been processed and forwarded to designated state medical boards, the physician can download and keep a primary source verified digital copy of the GME certification document for future licensing and credentialing needs. To tell you more about this new service, we are pleased to have with us today Mike Dugan, Chief Operating Officer of the FSMB. Mike joined the FSMB nearly a decade ago and has more than 25 years of healthcare information technology experience. Mike?
Thank you, Jama, and welcome everyone. It's good to have you here. We appreciate you taking the time to join us. Here's a little bit of an agenda. We will go into some digital credentials background, and this says demo. This is not really a live demo. We'll just show some screenshots of some things that we're doing. Jama mentioned the closed program service that we provide, and we'll go over that. And then specifically, there was, many of you may have seen the Hahnemann, or were familiar with the Hahnemann closing last year. So it was some of our work dovetailed with that. So we'll give an update on Hahnemann, although the work really will impact all of our records and closed programs. And then we'll give an industry update. There's at least one project that we have seen, and then some general activity also in this space, unrelated to us. And questions or maybe even some discussion. We'd be happy to have a, two-way conversation and get folks' feedback and any questions, but also we may have some questions for you. Okay. So there is a lot of ongoing activity related to digital credentials. Last year, we updated our research on this topic and published a paper on our website. At the bottom of the slide, you see the URL to get to the paper. It was a research project, but we really, it was part of our ongoing work to improve and enhance our systems. Two important aspects of the work were to examine the legal, compliance, and regulatory aspects, but also to examine multiple technologies. Our first work on this was specific to blockchain, and we wanted to broaden that, make sure that we were looking at all the possibilities. I will also point out that in our work, we assume recipient ownership of documents. We feel this is necessary for meeting the highest efficiencies, but also because we see a trend in data privacy laws such as GDPR pointing in this direction. So here are some of the key findings. We feel that the technology, when used properly, does meet the legal, regulatory, and credentialing requirements or standards. We think that the documents, even as they are today, offer an improvement over many of the processes used, but that this is also an area that will mature over time. And if you do reading in this area, for example, and what we're going to show you today are an electronic version of documents, but down the road, these things could become machine-readable, is what it would be referred to, and offer an even further level of automation. The thing about these technologies that, and I would say probably maybe harder than the technology itself, this will require workflow changes. It's for the programs that issue these credentials It's the physicians, it's credentialers, but it's also you, the licensing boards, and really just about anybody in the sphere that of these types of documents. We do feel that usage is poised to increase based upon the current commercial activity and the projects that we see and actual use of these documents in higher education. I will say I don't have a bullet on this, but based upon these findings, we are moving ahead with incorporating digital signatures and recipient ownership into our closed program service. We spelled this out in detail in the research paper. We have not ruled out blockchain in the future, and we will continue to evaluate its use and viability. This is our digital credentials comparison table, and it's interesting. We did the paper and then it created this slide, but this slide and talk about, you know, we need a consumer report format about, you know, these different technologies. So it was the envisioning a slide like this that turned into our research paper, which is about 30 pages, but it's very readable. And if you haven't read it, we do encourage you to do so. If nothing else, the introduction and the summary. But this is the Consumer Reports version of the findings. It lays out the key elements that we examined. And as you can see, those elements are legally enforceable, tamper evident, time stamped, shareable, revocable, expirable, and then what we added was widely accepted. The report also includes some non-binary things that really don't translate into a table like this, and those are the elements that you see below the table. The report also goes into details. These are check marks, but for example, legally enforceable, we get into the specifics about why.
I don't know if I heard a question or somebody.
Was somebody?
No, just people coming on.
Oh, okay. Okay. So digital signatures. This is it's a simplified diagram, but it's an overview of certificate-based digital signatures. So this process uses private keys to generate documents and public keys to view them. With digital signatures, and I'll highlight this, this is an important point, the system of trust is created via centralized certificate authorities who issue certificates to vetted organizations and then maintain the certificates and associated keys. This is the basic system of trust used for online traffic that all of us use every day, particularly if you see an HTTPS site. It is relying upon this technology. Okay, this is I call it a blockchain flow, but this diagram is a flow that we have shown before. Some of you may have seen it on previous webinars that we've done or even on our website. We created this during our blockchain research a few years ago. The diagram shows that an institution, such as a medical school or residency program, issues a signed document, and it gives custody of that document to the learner, in our case, a physician. The physician then gives the document to a medical board who can verify the document in real time. The diagram shows use of a blockchain. However, digital signatures serve the same purpose. I will point out that this flow adds efficiency by eliminating the need for a new third-party request each time the document is needed or used, which is to a large extent the process that is used today. Okay, this is what we call demo. I guess this is as close to the demo as we'll get. This is a sample document. We have gone out and obtained our own digital certificates. And you'll see here, this is a document that we generated using those certificates. So, this is viewed in a standard PDF viewer. The blue line at the top indicate it is a signed document. You don't see that in all PDFs. But it displays a clickable button to expand to a signature panel. So if you click the signature panel, it expands to the left, as you see there, and there's details that are very important. It shows how the document was signed and other digital components. And I would point out that though that information that you see is validated when the document is opened by the PDF viewer. So you might be able to call this a modern-day Ray seal. I don't know how often we deal with Ray seals anymore, but it's a digital version of that, and it provides much more information. If a document has been tampered with, or let's say it's a complete forgery, it will not pass this test. Okay, certs.fsmb.org. This is a URL. It's an FSMB website, and it'll do a couple of things. It provides information on how to use the Blue Ribbon documents. It also provides a secondary path to verify an FSMB-issued document. So this secondary path will provide a mechanism on our end to expire or revoke a document. If we go back to that grid, you'd see that was on there in their whatever, on their own, digital certificates do not provide those. But with this website, we could add that functionality to those documents. Although I will say it's that scenario, we're happy to be able to account for it, but with completed GME forms, it is highly unlikely. This document would also account be able to catch forged or tampered documents. If you have a document, they claim that it was from FSMB. If it doesn't pass muster, either with the certificates or here, then you'll know that it is not a valid document. Okay, so I'll get into this. We were headed down this path in the research. We had come to some of these conclusions, and then we had an opportunity I will say thrust upon us, but many of you may be aware, the Hahnemann University Hospital, it had a lot of press because it happened so abruptly, very little notice, existing residents were put out on the street, and the decision was made. There really were not what you might say are typical shutdown provisions, such as record retention. So, we worked with them on a very short time frame, but we took custody of the residency program. We gathered records on nearly 6,000 physicians, and this represented training in 35 different programs and nearly 40 years worth of trainee information. So, the way we are handling it, so it's a large volume of data. It is not data that you would want to deal with in a paper format. So it worked out nicely for us. And I will point out, we took the data. We digitally collected the data. They were able to give us access to their system. And we have documents that, you know, with the custodian documents, et cetera. And we are created these in the VGMET format. I will assume that everyone at least has an inkling of what that is. I think we also did a previous roundtable on that. But it's a form. It was approved or created, really, by ACGME, the Joint Commission, the American Hospital Association, and others to come up with a standard form. The credentialing folks, NAMS, were involved in the creation of that form, too. So it gives a standard that is accepted. It should be accepted in all cases. So we weren't ready to go in September, but we have worked extensively with their data. And we did have work on our end to build the infrastructure for this. We have begun issuing digital GME verification forms in this format just last week on the 15th. And Hahnemann physicians and others who records are closed in the close in this system will be receiving notice, if they haven't already, that their records will be available, and they can come and access those records. So that will include them. That will be the point in the workflow where they take custody of that record. It'll be available for them. Now, so that part, that's a big hurdle. That's done. We think that meetings like this, since it is a new document and people might say, well, how do I know this is, you know, acceptable? You know, we're helping the search document, search.fsmb.org can help that. The document itself is issued with an instruction sheet because since this is new and shows how to validate it. So if you're wondering, well, maybe I went fast or that sort of thing or I didn't get good notes, we can make this presentation available. But the documents themselves have instructions on how to use them. So we'll continue to talk through this. This is the first big rollout, to our member boards. I suspect that we'll continue to work with the credentialing groups as well, and other cases that may be interested in hearing more about this. We also continue to monitor the activity in higher ed, and specifically in medicine. A lot of these initiatives in higher ed, they're not specific to the medical school. These are universities, colleges and universities that are making a step to go digital with transcripts and diplomas. So we're trying to keep track of that. There's already institutions. The diplomas are probably a little more prevalent at the moment than transcripts, but we've seen both. And some of these are they're certainly from top-tier institutions. So I think that's one question we have. We're curious if the member boards have seen these. And I would say if you haven't, it is inevitable that you're going to be presented with these documents that were issued by an institution. And then there's an ACGME blockchain pilot. You know, this is something we think this model, that recipient ownership model, requires cooperation, and it's what we call a network model. So we talk with ACGME on a regular basis, and we got wind that they were having, they were going down this path. We tried to give them some input that, well, if you want medical boards, you know, to be interested in this document, here are some requirements that you're going to have to meet. So we think they've responded to that. They are on the cusp of a pilot with Vanderbilt University. This is a sample credential that was issued to Cindy Stroon and was issued via a blockchain. So Cindy had to download a blockchain wallet and then claim her credential. And then she presented it to us here, and we were captured what it looks like. So it's similar to the certificate-based model, although, and you can see, I don't know how good the graphics are here, but that box up on the upper left says verify again. And when you click that, you see there's the hourglass sort of spins, and it goes back out and validates it against the blockchain that they have. But the information that it presents is very similar to the information that you see in the certificate. It's formatted a little differently, but it's essentially when it was signed, who signed it, and a key that tells you that it's valid. And a lot of the same, I won't get into the specifics of the blockchain, but, you know, all of the technology behind the blockchain supports that. We took there's a metadata block over there, and when you click the metadata, you can see that the unusual circumstance questions are contained in the metadata. And that was one of the things that we pointed to them. You know, we don't know if this will meet board requirements, but we know if you don't have this, it won't. So they worked, and we were glad to see that they incorporated that in there. So I wanted to bring you up that this is out there. They're doing this. I think we've offered to them, and as they get further down, perhaps this project would be the subject of an entire roundtable similar to the one that we're doing today. I would, it seems to me that if this becomes widely used throughout GME programs, this is something that could catch momentum very quickly. So I think it would be important for us to know that it's what's going on, B, evaluate it from a board level to see, you know, how it works, and that will allow some communication with them. So we hopefully there is more to come there. That is our last slide. So, Drew?
Thank you, Mike. We would be happy to take your questions now. As a courtesy to everyone who is listening in on today's call, please identify yourself, your board, and your role at the board before making your remarks. We do have a question to start that off. Can any of the boards on the call tell us if they've seen these types of digital credentials? Carla Wells from New York?
Yes.
Is that you, Carla?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, thank you. Which ones have you seen, Carla?
I actually had a question, and I couldn't figure out how to ask it. That is not related to this, so if you would like me to not do that right now.
Oh, please. Go ahead.
Okay, so my question was basically who is paying for this? So does the resident need to pay you to get this credential, or is the institution paying you to keep them?
So the short answer is the resident. So we do have costs associated with generating this and maintaining the data.
Of course.
In the case of, you know, for the most part with these programs, they don't either, you know, Hahnemann close so quickly, being able to charge them challenged. Also, sometimes the programs, you know, don't have any money. They're closing because they don't have any money. So we're trying to see. It'll probably be similar to a verification fee that we charge today for the old-fashioned way. Perhaps a little bit more.
Doubting me, David. Those are smart things to do.
That's good feedback.
DME offices.
I'm sorry. Who was that?
I'm not sure we caught that. DME offices.
Were there any other questions? We thought we heard a comment about GME offices. Can someone speak up about that?
Sorry, this is Tracy from the Vermont Medical Board, and I was just commenting that this might be more of a presentation to get out to the GME offices, since they will be the one, you know, with the people trying to get these verified to us.
That's good feedback as well. I think we're going to try. We have a relationship. We know the ACGME team, but I won't say that we work with them, on a regular basis. But I know they have a meeting coming up, and we'll look for opportunities to get the message out to the programs. So thank you for that input.
You're welcome. I think that'd be a great idea.
Any other feedback or questions?
How do you feel if you were presented with one of these documents? What would your thoughts be?
They will be presented to the state boards. Ah, I see someone else has raised her hand. Is that Kate?
Chandler? Yeah, hi. Yeah.
Hi, Kate.
Hey, I'm from the Wisconsin State Board.
Okay, from Wisconsin. Thank you.
Your last question, from what I could tell from the presentation, is it's going to, what we're going to be receiving in the future will look a little bit more put together and easier to tell if there's fraudulent parts to it. There will be less variation from one institution to the next if somebody's got, you know, two or three postgraduates. And I like the way it looks, and I will definitely be looking up the certs, fsmb.org, to look into that a little further, figure out how to properly process them.
That's great, Kate. Thank you very much. Now, you should be aware, I've sent an email out to the boards yesterday that if we do have a physician that has a closed program and they'd like it sent to a board, you are now going to be receiving that on your state medical board portal underneath the S icon for supplementary documents.
Oh, great. Okay. I will look into that as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yep. Yeah. Anybody else have any other questions? Carla, did you have another question?
No, I'm good.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any more questions for anyone? All right, great. Thank you so much for joining us. If there are no more questions, we will now close out our webinar. We will have a recording of the webinar available on the FSMB members only site, which you can access through FSMB's main website at fsmb.org. Please contact Drew Carlson at dcarlson@fsmb.org if you have any questions. Thank you again for participating today. We hope you have a great afternoon.